Well, it's good to see all of you this morning, and thank the Lord's blessed us to meet together here with you. Speaking of the prayers, we certainly appreciate an interest in your prayers as we try to bring a message to you this morning. And certainly, of course, pray for Brother Clayton as he comes to follow. You ever heard the expression, or in conversation with people, in talking about life and a living life and so forth, that they make a statement somewhat that goes like this, you know, that things just aren't important, you know, or that there's things more important than things in life. Of course, we generally know what they're talking about. There certainly are material things in life that people almost obsess over and think they've got to have and so forth, that are not nearly as important as other things, at least ought to be in their lives. Sometimes people get a little carried away in thinking about certain ideas and expressing themselves and leave the distinct impression that, you know, that when it comes to things, that's taboo. You know, it's just, you know, we don't want to go there. If you want to talk about things, well, I'm not going to join that conversation. Well, if you want to have a spiritual discussion with anybody, then you are in deep, 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 deep trouble. Guess how many times the word things appears in God's holy word? Just guess. Nobody. 10 times? Oh, you know better than that. You can think of 10 times right off the top of your head. How about 1,162 times in 1,024 verses? Now, I learned something from Elder Sonny Piles a long time ago that I repeat a lot. And that is that if something occurs in the Bible one time, it's important. If it starts occurring multiple times, then it's the Lord's way of saying, this is really important. That's right. And if God talks about things at least 1,000 times in the scripture, then I would think that things are important. Then they are important. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The first time that the word occurs in the Bible is way back over in Genesis chapter 7. Now, another thing that we know about the structure of God's word, as far as things being important, is the rule of first occurrence. And here we find the first time that the word things appears in the Bible. And in Genesis chapter 7, verse 23, it tells us that, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Now things, the word things, thing, you know, is a term that whenever you use that word, you're not talking about the word itself. It has an object, you know, it's that thing, or this thing, or the other thing. And so we could say that the thing has, maybe thing is a pronoun. I don't know. You look it up and tell me. And if you already know, you can tell me anyhow. So it always has an object in mind, or objects in mind. And the first time that we see the word used in the Bible, it gives us that general sense that the Holy Spirit is telling us that God is going to send a flood, and when that flood came, all flesh died. And instead of taking up the space to give an item by item list and account of all the animals and so forth that died. He used the word things, and especially with creeping things that creepeth upon the earth and every man. And a lot of things in this life that creep upon the earth, you know, lizards and insects and so forth. So there's, as I understand it, you know, as far as numbers are concerned, those kinds of creatures, you know, if they were the size of an elephant, there wouldn't be room on this earth for you and I to live, because they'd take up all the space. Because there's a lot of them. And I guess one reason there's a lot of them, because they take up such little space. Of course, Sister Lane and I have had to, you know, deal with a lot of those creeping things as we've moved into our house and moved back into the country. You know, a lot of times you live in town. Town living can be kind of sterile living, because, you know, there you certainly don't want creeping things creeping out from your place onto your neighbor's place. It can get you in trouble. But so that's the first time that word occurs. Now, probably the most important way that the Bible uses the word things is, like, we'll turn over to Genesis chapter 15. And over in Genesis chapter 15, this chapter begins with the expression, after these things. The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding a great reward. Things is a word that's used, like in this case, the preceding chapter tells about, you know, God's working certain things in Abram's life and blessing Abram, you know, Abram gave tithes to Melchizedek and so forth. He delivered Lot at the Battle of the Kings and so forth. And chapter 15 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, etc. That's kind of the way that the word is used a lot of times in the scriptures. It tells us about a certain event. And then to move on to the next chapter, or to move on to the next story, or to move on to the next subject, the Lord will bless the writer through the Holy Spirit to say, and after these things, or when these things were completed, etc. And it would be a good exercise, like here, to examine the context, what occurred, and then what God would say, and after these things occurred, and what would happen next. Sometimes it's kind of like a parable. You know, this event, this person did this thing, this event happened because of these things, you know, and then the Bible will say, and then following these things, or after these things. And what comes after that is God telling us that here's a real life parable, not a made up parable, but here's a real life parable of how people behaved and or misbehaved and what happened to them, you know, and whether it was good or bad, and the deliverances and so forth. And then based upon those things, then the Lord gives us you know, the lesson that we need, you know, based upon it. Now one thing that about all of this, of course, is you know, if this word appears 1,000 times in the Bible, it's there for a reason. It's not there just to fill up space. It's not there just to make the dots be connected. It's not there just as a figure of speech, but it's there for a reason. And so, you know, these are some of the subjects sometimes that can be a preacher's blessing or a preacher's curse. It can be a blessing because he's got so much reference material, so many scriptures he can go to. and be a curse because he's got so many to go to. You know, how do you get in all of them? You know, with the time allotted. I mean, we'd be here for a while just if I had read 1,000, ever how many times the word things appears. And that's the word things in the plural. That's not even the word thing in the singular. So you can thank me for that we won't go down that alley. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 18, we find the Lord, of course, speaking. This chapter begins with, "These be the words of Moses, the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness." And of course, the words that Moses spake to the children of Israel, we understand they were the words of the Lord. They were the things that he commanded him to speak. And I'd like to notice what God said through Moses in verse 18. He says, "And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do." I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. And one thing about serving God, you know, always remember this. One thing about serving God, it's very simple. Okay? If you want to serve God, you're going to have to do it God's way. Not the way you think it ought to be done, or the way we'd like for it to be done, or the way Aesop or whoever tells us, you know, it'd be done, or even the way that the preacher tells us that it should be done. Only follow the preacher when what the preacher tells you is what God is telling you through him. Okay. Follow me, Paul said, even as I also follow Christ. That's the link in the chain. That's where the preacher's link in the chain is. If he's following Jesus Christ, if he's pointing you towards him, then follow him. And that's what he's supposed to do. He's here for that reason. You know, and you know, he's a good resource to use for that reason. And the Bible actually teaches us that we should be using that resource. Even in the Old Testament, God complained to the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "I've sent you pastors after mine own heart. And what did you do? You believed them not." You know, God said, "This is how I spoke to you, is these pastors, these men that I've sent after mine own heart, but you believed me not. You heard them." See what God's saying? You listened to them, but you believed me not. And so that's the position, you know, that God's servants are in. And here Moses is saying, or God's saying through Moses, "And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do." Now, you know, serving God is not complicated, but it can get complex sometimes. You know, let's don't oversimplify the gospel. The gospel, you know, the Apostle Paul speaks to us about the simplicity of the gospel. And these truths that we believe, they are simple truths. But in reality, in following the things of God and so forth, it can get complex sometimes, not complicated. Because God, you know, God's, you know, he's dotted every I, he's crossed every T. He's diagrammed everything just like it ought to be, just like it's going to be, just like it'll work. The problem is, so many times, you know, we want to write our own equations, you know, or we don't want to follow his way. And that's when things get complex. But always remember that the standard is God. And the way we know what God's standard is through his word. And so he tells the children of Israel that I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. Not just which ye should believe, but which ye should do. And notice the context. All the things. Not just all things, but all the things. And I think that's important. He could have said all things which ye should do. But he makes it pretty specific by adding that definitive word, the, all the things. All here is all kinds of things, whatever the things are. Whether we're talking about spiritual things, whether we're, you know, as far as offerings and sacrifices, and you read the latter part of the book of Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers. And a good portion of the book of Deuteronomy, God covered, he said, I've commanded you at that time all the things that ye should do. so if we're ever, and of course that applies, and we're going to see that applied not only to the children of Israel, but it applies to God's people throughout eternity. In fact, it started with Adam and Eve. God didn't plant a garden eastward in Eden and put the man and the woman there and said, okay, I've planted the garden. Now you figure out from this point forward what to do. No, he told Adam and Eve all the things which they should do. In fact, he not only told them all the things that they should do, but he told them the particular thing that they should not do. So he says, and I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. Now ye here, the Bible uses the word ye more you than it uses the word ye. But it uses the word ye for a very particular reason. Okay? You can be singular or plural depending upon its usage in the sentence, of course. But ye is always that kind of word that it's singular, but it applies to the group as a whole. Okay? He's saying, I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. In other words, this is God saying to me, as if I were the only person that he's talked to, ever talked to, or would ever want to talk to, that Thomas, this is what I'm telling you. But at the same time, he's saying the exact same thing to Brother Clayton. Brother Clayton, I'm telling this to you as if you're the only person that I'm telling it to, or as if you were the only person that has ever lived that, you know, that I would talk to. That's how personal the word ye is in the scriptures. Listen, I want to make that point because I think it's important. You know, God has created a multitude of people. The Bible talks about, you know, John looking over the book of Revelation and seeing an host which no man can number. It's not that the number of that host can't be known, because God knows them. But John is just saying, this is the kind of multitude I saw. I mean, I saw a lot of people. And I can't begin to tell you what a lot of people are, because that's how many I saw. But God has the ability not only to have that many children, and that many angels, and that many however other beings there's going to be in heaven, as far as the number and the mass number that there's going to be, and to deal with the mass, but also to deal with the individual as if you were the only one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. Now you try to do that. That's right. Everybody's shaking their head. No, you can't do it. You know, it's hard enough for a husband to deal with his wife. Then children come along. Then grandchildren. Then great-grandchildren. Then, of course, if he's got parents you know, and then if he's got siblings and their families, why it's hard to keep up with it all. You get to the place, you just look to the wife and say, you keep up with it. Tell me, you know, whose birthday it is and anniversary and all that kind of stuff. You take care of that. They're better at that than keeping, they're better at keeping up with that than most of us men are anyhow. But God keeps up with it. In fact, the scripture says, not only when it comes to the ye, that he looks at you as if you were the only one out of all the mass of humanity. But he says the very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows your down sittings and your uprisings. He knows where you are all the time. The scary part is he knows your thoughts from afar. I've often wondered about that, why he put it that way. Because the Bible teaches me the Holy Spirit dwells within me. But he says, I know your thoughts from afar. That may be because of the thoughts that he's telling us that he knows, that he doesn't want to get close to those thoughts. So he says, I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. And that's the things that he calls men to preach the word of God to us, to tell us about all these things. The things of the Lord, what those things are, what those commandments are, for us to pay attention to understand and to believe. Turn with me now to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And let's notice a bit of a contrast here. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, we have Samuel speaking unto people of Israel. He's actually reproving them because of their ingratitude towards God. Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You like to post verses on your refrigerator? Put this one on there to remind yourself that even when we misbehave, even when we sin against God, even when we just royally mess up, that God is a God of second chances. He says, ye have done all this wickedness. And I won't go into all the wickedness that they've done. And on this particular occasion, it was just one of many, many, many times. But he says to them, to fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord. God says, I will forgive you. I am forgiving you. I will bless you in spite of what you've done to still follow me. To do the things that you're supposed to do and serve the Lord with all your heart. One of the amazing blessings of God is how that when we sin, and whatever the nature of that sin is, that God will bless us to still be able to serve him from our heart. Because sin ought to be a matter of the heart. I mean, when we sin against God, if I know that it breaks God's heart, it certainly ought to break my heart. But it's right there where the problem is that God would sin in us as mankind, that God says to serve him. But serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn you not aside, for then should you go after vain things. So many times, I've witnessed it in people's lives. They make a mistake. They sin against the Lord. Whatever it might be. It could be all kinds of things. It could be virtually anything. It really could be anything. How do they deal with it? Well, basically, they deal with it one of two ways. either they follow the flesh and run away from God, or they follow the Spirit and they go to God. You know, David was a man that was a man after God's own heart. And when David sinned with Bathsheba, what did he do? He went to God and not away from God. Sin does affect our fellowship with God, but it will not affect our relationship with God. But when our fellowship with God is affected, it doesn't have to stay that way. We can go to God. Turn ye aside, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. But then in verse 24 he says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Why? For consider how great things he hath done for you. Whenever we do those things that do affect our fellowship with God, then we have the blessing, and God will bless us to sit down and to meditate upon what great things God has done for us. And to think about the fact that God has done those great things in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our sins. And he's done great things for us even whenever he has to judge us, even whenever he has to deal with us because of our sins. His love for us is greater than his judgment against us. God cannot look upon sin with any degree at all. He can't tolerate it, not even in us. But he loves us still. And he lives with us still. And he abides with us still. You go through the Psalms. David speaks of all kinds of things. He speaks of great things. The great things of the Lord. The marvelous things of the Lord. The wondrous things of the Lord. The glorious things of the Lord. The good things of the Lord. Go look up. Get your concordance when you get home. Look up the word things. Solomon speaks of the excellent things of the Lord, the right things of the Lord, the many things of the Lord, the wonderful things of the Lord, the good things of the Lord, and all things of the Lord. One thing that tells us about a God is that he's a great God. And what he covers all kinds of things. He's in control of everything. He's in charge of everything. Nothing escapes his notice. You know, and on and on we can go. Two or three more verses. The first time the word things appears in the New Testament has to do with the man Joseph. The angel appeared unto Joseph in a dream and said unto Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Then in here it tells us Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, fear not to take unto thee, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, etc. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, Jesus Christ used the word things. He says, be not ye therefore like unto them, which do a lot of praying, a lot of speaking, but very little praying. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, what did Jesus Christ just tell us? Things are important. They are important to God. He tells us to pray for things, to pray for food, to pray for clothing, to pray for you know, to pray for the things that we need in life, to pray concerning our jobs, to pray. It's okay to pray about things. If there's something you need, then take that something to the Lord. And by the way, the Bible teaches us that he's faithful and just, that he'll give us all things that we need. But now listen, that's the one hand. The other side of that is that he can withhold all things too. He'll freely give us all things, but he can withhold all things. That's according to his discretion. And you remember the book of Romans, chapter 8? In the book of Romans, chapter 8, the book of Romans, chapter 8, talks about predestination and all those kinds of things. There you go, all those kinds of things. And what did Paul say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I hope that gives you something to think about today. May the Lord add his blessings.